Hello and welcome to Ants of My Mouth. I am your host, Faisha Yotaisi, a beauty queen and a gender-based violence survivor. This is a gender-based violence podcast. If you are or have been a victim of gender-based violence, this podcast is for you. Let me help you find your voice. And if you simply care about social justice and would like to learn about gender-based violence, Ants of My Mouth is the right podcast for you. Notes. This is not a voice of victimhood, but of enlightenment, strength, and action. Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Ants of My Mouth. I'm still your host, Faisha Yodaisi, and this is our sixth episode. Yay! So today we're going to be talking about sex education and the role it plays in eliminating gender-based violence. Yes, I said it. Sex education is actually a tool to eliminating gender-based violence. But before I get into that, what exactly is sex education? Sex education is a learning and teaching process that involves the understanding of sex in its physical, social, cultural, and psychological reality. You see, sex is an innate part of our existence as living things. And given that we are not asexual and we do not reproduce as a race by multiple divisions, we actually have to address the issue of sex that ensures the continuity of our race. But for us as humans, sex is much more than just a means to continuing our race because it affects so many other aspects of our lives. But unfortunately, we treat sex as a shameful topic never to be discussed. And even when it is, a number of times the right information about sex is not being passed. We learn to talk by listening and mimicking sounds. We learn to walk by standing and falling a couple times. We learn to eat from a variety of food and decide what exactly it is we prefer or do not prefer. But when it comes to sex, we treat it like a topic that should never be discussed, like a taboo, like a dirty sin. But the truth is, this attitude contributes negatively to gender-based violence and a number of issues. You see, somebody had sex, and that is why you're here today, like it or not. And on the basis of a number of religious or cultural reasons, people tend to shy away from the topic of sex as it is. But the truth is, talking about sex in the sense of sex education would only help to improve our relationship as humans. I am aware that there are forms of sexual education that we use presently, but a number of those practices are much more problematic than you'd care to see. For instance, at one point or the other, most teenagers usually get what they call the talk. You know, where the girl is told, once a boy touches you, you'd get pregnant. And the boy is told, if you get somebody pregnant, just be ready to quit school and start working. And there's just a lot of fear tactics that go to this idea of sex education. Not to mention the purity culture, where girls are told that their virginity is a prize that they should keep till their wedding night or for their spouses, and the boys are not taught the same lesson. If anything, the boys get the lesson that sex is a prize that they should chase and try to get as many of. You see, the downsides to this culture is that it creates a prey-predator cycle. But this is what I mean by a prey-predator cycle. The girls are taught that what they have is precious and they should hide it. And the boys are taught that they should get as much of that precious thing as they can. And more often than not, the girls who have been taught this probably try to keep this prize. And the boys who have been given the other lesson are encouraged to go after this prize, either with or without consent. And that is why there's a spiral in number of rape cases, because as a society, we give this education to women that they should keep themselves pure because they are the prize. And we give a counter information to men that they should get as much prize as they can. So it becomes such that even when a lady decides that she's keeping herself as a prize, it could still be snatched or taken from her. My point is, most of these are forms of sexual education or sex education that we use in present moment, but they have too many underlying problems that only make things worse than when we started off from. How exactly can we do sex education properly? You see, we've pointed out now that the current method of sex education, like scare tactics or the purity culture or you name it, or a shameful regard to sex and sexuality in general, does not work. It only goes around to create problems. Then how are we supposed to do sex education? Like I said earlier, sex education is a learning and teaching process. And this is a process that needs to be started off as soon as possible. I believe that sex education should cut across several age grades, meaning at every point in development, certain information should be given on sex education. For instance, for children ranging from the ages of 2 to 5 or 7, they should be made aware of the importance of their private and why it's called a private in the first place. You see, there's this common culture where we refer to private parts as bum bum or tush tush, or just private parts are given a number of names just to avoid referring to them for the names that they actually are. You know, people try to avoid calling vagina vaginas and penises penises, just as a way of creating this image to seemingly protect the child from the concept of sex. But unfortunately, this is dangerous because it soon gives the child a perception that their privates are something to be ashamed of. And hence, it affects the way they view themselves. Because once you start feeling that there's something or a part of you that is disgusting, so much so that it should never be called its name, it affects the way you perceive sex and sexuality in general, or even yourself. So an important aspect of sex education for very young children is to let them know the names of their privates. Let them know and address their privates as what it actually is. Now, after this, it's important to teach them that these private parts are called private parts for a reason. It helps them to establish physical boundaries and respect physical boundaries in return. While they may not be able to comprehend the more complicated aspects of sex, they do understand that their private parts have names, number one, and belong to them. So it shouldn't be fondled with by an adult or even another child because it's a personal space. So this goes a long way in helping them understand boundaries. They understand that they have boundaries that should not be crossed in the aspect of their body, and they understand that they should not cross same boundaries in the aspect of other people's body. Now, imagine how this information would grow with them. They would grow into adults that respect physical boundary, and that's it. Subsequently, when a child approaches adolescence and the teenage years, they should be made aware of consent and its practicality. In the practical sense, consent. They should know that you really do need consent to enter another person's physical space. This is an extension of the lesson they learned as children, because they get to know that, okay, to enter a person's physical space to the point of even getting sexual with them, you need consent, clear and well spelled out consent. You don't assume that there's an existing consent, you need consent. Also, they should be taught the importance of safe sex. Now, while you may want to add certain values and teach about certain values, it's important that you understand that irrespective of the values you possess as a parent or guardian, your children would still grow up to be their own person. And even though you strongly want them to not explore sex at this moment of their life, there's a very high chance that they are going to. So it's important that you provide them with the necessary information to navigate that world safely. And that's where the teachings about safe sex comes in. This would not only reduce the chances of unwanted pregnancies and STI, but it helps them have a positive relationship towards sex, rather than just creating this illusion that sex is demonic. You'd teach them the importance of safe sex and help them understand, and the fact that you've helped them understand so far that this is a physical boundary, it could actually help reduce the chances of teenage or adolescent sex, because they've come to understand that their bodies and their privates are actually boundaries, and it's not one that they should just allow anyone cross, or they learn to respect that part of themselves, because you've taught them from the onset that it's beautiful, but it's yours. You understand? You've not been given this negative attitude towards it. So you've not been given this negative teaching about it. You've been telling them it's what it is. So they come to understand that it's indeed a part of myself, and this is a boundary that I have respected for so long, and it reduces the chances of them letting just anyone cross that boundary. You understand? And if anyone even does cross that boundary, they are aware that a violation has taken place, and they can discuss this in a safe space. This applies to the children too. When they are aware that this their physical body or their private is a boundary, they can voice out to you as a parent or guardian that that boundary has been crossed, because it's the kind of relationship you have. Now, we like to assume that sex education is something that ends in the teenage stage, but unfortunately, it still extends into young adult stage and even adult stage. Because you see, of all our activities as living things, reproduction, which translates to sex, is one of the things you need to involve with another human to do. You actually do need to engage with another human being to do it. And oftentimes you come from different backgrounds, and this means that you probably have been exposed to different information or relationship about sex. That means there's still a lot of learning and teaching to be done in the young adult stage and even the adult stage to properly explore and understand sex. The learning and teaching process is a forever one. So it means it starts as early as possible and keeps going as long as you're a sexual being. You should be ready to learn and embrace the knowledge of your partner's sexuality. While you may have your kinks or your ideals, it's usually different from person to person. And what was fine with this partner might not necessarily be fine with another partner. So consent and boundary respect and all of those things still come to play in young adults and adult relationships. To maximize the role of sex in adult relationships, it's important that you discuss sex. And even for couples that decide that they want to either remain celibate or wait for sex, you know, they don't want to have premarital sex, it's still important that you discuss your sexual values and sexual views. It's very important, very, very important, because you need to understand where your partner stands on this issue, because it's one that ruins a number of relationships and marriages. So you need an early onset understanding of sex and sex education. You need to see your partner's views and make sure that it's one that correlates with yours. It's not just enough that they decided to wait and not have marital sex. It's also important that you understand how they view sex and sex education in general. And if you are sexually active, it's still important to discuss about these things. Because like I said, sex is something that affects our social, economic, our psychological reality. It goes beyond just the shrouded secrets that we make it to be. It's something that influences a number of issues. Now, how does sex education now provide a solution to gender-based violence? Like I mentioned earlier, teaching children about boundaries and privacy, of their physical boundaries and privacy, makes it easier for them to report cases of sexual abuse, either from an adult or even a younger person. So it means that you've created this knowledge within them that it's okay to talk about your space being violated with a safe adult. It's all right to talk about these things. And then the fact that you've taught safe sex to a child during the adolescent stage reduces the chances of sexually transmitted infection or even unwanted pregnancies. And as you know, unwanted pregnancy can be a disadvantage to most especially the female child. I mean, it could stop our process of education and so much more, and could even cost our life. And this, like I always say in preceding episodes, disadvantages that comes with the gender is where gender-based violence thrives on. Unwanted pregnancy is the leading disadvantage for so many females in the world right now. So when you are able to cut out these problems from the roots, you've reduced the rate at which it influences gender-based violence. Not to mention that the lesson of consent is something that goes on into adulthood. And by raising children who are aware of the importance of consent, you've raised sexually healthy adults who know not to take advantage or forcefully demand sex from the opposite sex. Okay, I didn't even know that was going to happen. Who know not to take advantage or forcefully demand sex from the opposite gender, or in some cases, same gender. So it's just very important that you teach these lessons as early as possible so that they can stick, and at different levels of growth, their understanding about this topic gets deeper. Thank you very much for listening to me. I hope that this episode, like the others, was educative. Have a nice day. Thank you very much for taking out the time to listen to this podcast. I hope it was as inspiring as promised. Feel free to leave a review and join our online community at Aunt of My Mouth on Instagram and Twitter. Remember to refer a friend that needs to hear this. And you can send me your stories, suggestions, and ideas by auntofmymouth@gmail.com. Join me every Thursday for new and exciting episodes of this podcast.